Well, the message this evening started out as an evangelistic message. We had the joy of baptizing a new believer this morning, and the message that I've got that I'm bringing to you this evening it comes out of the message that I was preparing for that, the prodigal son. And you know, as I preached this morning, when I was preparing, I thought I can't possibly share the riches of this passage with the congregation this morning. There's just not enough time. And now what you're going to get isn't the same as them. You're going to get some of the other riches. And so I've got to skip over a whole load of things. But we're going to look then, if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 11. You know the story. I'm sure you know it well. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Well, I'm sure you've heard this preached a number of times. I don't know if any of you have read Tim Keller's book on this, The Prodigal God. Okay, if you've read this, if you haven't read it, go and read it. Okay, it's a great, great book, and you know, he digs out the riches from this, and I just want to acknowledge him in it, in what I've got for you this evening. So this story is a familiar one to us, but I've heard it preached on loads of times, and often it seems we get the wrong end of the stick actually with this. And what we have is firstly a son. There's a whole load of cultural bridges we need to cross in order to understand it. We haven't got time to look at all of those, but suffice it to say, when the younger son asked for his share of the inheritance, that was a shock. You know, to that when Jesus was telling the Jews that were in front of him this story, they would have been absolutely shocked, horrified, because it was as though the son was saying, I can't wait till you die, give me the goods now. Okay? And then the Jews that were listening, they'd have thought, man, what a terrible son, I know what I'd do. And their expectation was this dignified, godly father would basically boot the son out and send him packing with nothing. He'd be kicked out of the family for making a request like that. And so not only were the Jews shocked by the request of the son, but they would have been gobsmacked by the response of the father. It says, and he gave him his share of the estate. You know, you can imagine the Jews just putting their hands, head in their hands and thinking, what kind of a father is this? And that is a good question for us to ask. What kind of a father is this? Well, you know the story. We haven't got time to go into the details of it. He goes and blows the estate, decides he's going to come back, and he's got his confession all ready. And that's a good thing to do, especially when we've sinned and we come back to God. It's good to think about how we're going to confess and to bring that to the Lord, to think carefully about it. He does that. And as he arrives home, his father's there, sees him coming, embraces him, puts a ring back on his finger and all that stuff. The son doesn't even get to finish his confession, does he? And he's embraced back into the family. The ring, the sandals on the feet, the robe, the best robe in the house, that would have been the father's. All of this was saying, you are my son. Now there's just one important thing for us to note. There's lots of important things, but one that we're going to note. That is, the son, in his confession, his intention is to ask the father if he can be as one of the hired men, as one of his hired men. Now, he didn't ask if he could be one of his servants or slaves. And that's because there was a difference. You see, if you was a servant or a slave, you would have resided in the house of your master. You was part of the household. A hired man was someone who wasn't part of the household, who worked for them, who earned a wage. And so what this son was saying is, let me come back and work for you and repay or try to repay what I have squandered. He had dishonored his father. You know, when it says, and the father divided his, it says in verse 12, so he divided his property between them. That word property, in Greek, it's the Greek word bios. It's not property. That's not a good translation. Bios is where we get the word biology. Basically means his life. He divided his life. And the reason why he uses the word bios is because, now it does mean his property, means his land, is because for this father and for any dignified, stately Jew, their standing in the community was very much tied up with their possessions. The more you had, the more respect you had, the more standing you had. The less you had, the less respect, the less standing. If you had nothing, you was a nobody, basically. And so in giving away, it would have been a third of his estate, because the older brother gets two thirds because he gets a double portion, being the oldest brother. In giving away a third of his estate, that was his standing diminished. It was a part of who he was, his identity, gone. He wasn't the man that he was, at least not in the eyes of those around him. And so this son had so dishonored his father. When he comes back, he wants to be a hired servant because he wants to pay his father back. He knows that saying sorry does not get him back into the house. It's not enough. So he thinks, I've got to repay. And so that's the son, but the younger son. The father, you know, he's having none of it. He puts the robe on him, the ring on his finger, the sandals on his feet. These are all, as I said a moment ago, pictures of him being fully reinstated. But he does something else. He kills the fattened calf. And that causes a real problem, as we're going to see in a moment. But you see, the fattened calf was something very, very, very rarely used for a celebration. Very rarely. Maybe for the wedding of your eldest son or something like that. Yeah, it would normally be a goat or a lamb at best, usually chickens or whatever, but not the fattened calf. This was a big celebration. You know, the whole village would probably have turned out for something like this. And so this was, you know, the picture that we're to get, and the Jews would have understood this from Jesus, was this was like a massive affair for the Father. This was his celebration, his joy in the return of his son. And he invites all these people to come in, but the older son, he won't come in and join the celebration. Now here's the thing with the older son. He's upset. Why? Because all these years, he said, I've slaved for you. And then you notice he says, this son of yours. And in saying that, he's refusing to acknowledge this man as his brother. This son of yours. And he doesn't call his father, father. This son of yours. He refuses to acknowledge at this point his father, even as his father. This is a rejection of his father and of his brother. This son of yours returns and you kill the fattened calf. I've slaved you. You didn't even give me a goat, he says. Never. Not even a goat. And so the father pleads with him to come in, but he refuses. And it's interesting to note that there are two conflicts here, isn't there? There's one with the younger son and one with the older son. The conflict with the younger son is resolved. The conflict with the older son is kind of left open. We don't know, do we? He doesn't tell us whether he went in and joined in the celebration. You don't know. It's left unresolved for a reason. But what I'd like us to observe, or what I think the Lord wants us to notice is this, that in reality, the older son and the younger son are just the same. They're just the same. You see, what they both reveal is that neither of them loved their father. The younger son, he says, give me my share of the inheritance. And that's kind of saying, I can't wait for you to die. I don't want anything to do with you. I just want your stuff. Give me your stuff. I don't want you, Father. I want your stuff. Right? You can see that, can't you? He just wants his father's stuff. And then the older son, though, he's the same. If you think about it, all these years I've slaved for you and you didn't even give me a goat. You know, why was he serving his father all these years? Not because he loved his father, but because he wanted the stuff. He got bent all out of shape because, as I said a moment ago, that inheritance, a third had been given to the younger brother. The other two thirds belonged to who? Him, it was his. So when the fattened calf was killed and when the younger son is reinstated, guess who it's costing? It's the older brother. And he doesn't like that. He's been serving his father all his years for that. And he reveals in these moments that he is exactly the same as the younger brother. It's not his father. You see, a good older brother, if he loved his father, when the younger son had gone and squandered everything, a good older brother would have said something like this, Father, I am going to go and bring your son back. Whatever it costs, I will bring him back home. I will bring him home. But he didn't, did he? He didn't love his father. He was more concerned about his father's stuff. And people, all of us, we all have a tendency to fall into one of those two categories. But maybe you're the kind of person that tends towards, probably not, but possibly, the kind of person whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, who tends towards wanting all the stuff that the Father's given, the pleasures of this world, wanting independence, wanting to have a good time. Yeah, that sort of philosophy that is, abounds out there is, you know, no one can stop you fulfilling your life the way that you want to fulfill it. You know, you should do whatever you want to do. You know, no one should get in your way. Just get what you can out of this world. And that's what people want. They want God's stuff. They want the Father's stuff, but they don't want the Father. They want freedom and independence and as much as they, but they don't want the Father. So maybe you tend towards that. Probably if you're a believer, you tend towards being more like the older brother who serves his Father, who is loyal and is kind of conservative, you know, in values and all of that kind of stuff. And each one, those on one side look on those on the other side and think that they've lost the plot and they don't really know what life's about. The ones on this side think that they don't really get what it's about. But both are wrong. Because the older brother served the Father. Here's the thing, and here's the thing for us tonight. Not because they really loved the Father, but because they wanted the blessings that the Father gives. You know, if that is you. When things aren't working out, do you get angry? When you're not getting what you think God should have given, do you get angry about that? Well, we fall into one of those two categories. You know, as I said, it leaves it unresolved. We don't know what this older brother did. And it's kind of like there's a question mark there. And it's a good place. Because it reminds us that that younger brother who had gone astray, like all of us, needed a better older brother. You can see where this is going, can't you? Needed an older brother that would go seeking after the younger brother. You know, all of us are those who have gone astray one way or another, whether it be like the older or the younger brother. And the good news for us is we have a good older brother who said to the Father, I will go whatever it costs and I will bring back your children. Isn't that an amazing, wonderful truth? And the great thing is it's in this story that when the son comes back, the father celebrates with a feast. And you know, it's a great thing for us to think about. When you think about, I was at a camp last week with kids, with George and a load of other, bunch of other leaders, kids from estates from all over Brighton. Okay? And they were like typical estate kids. There was one of them, just one, who came from a very wealthy family. And he fitted right in with them, you know, but he was wealthy. That was the difference. And they all got on great. That was great. But here's the thing. Okay? When I say he was wealthy, I mean, I'm talking proper wealthy. He was wearing a belt one day that cost £800. On another day, he's wearing a belt that cost £300. That was his cheap one, I suppose. And but as I observed him with all these kids, you know, the best times I could see that he was having was hanging out with all the other kids, sitting around the meal table, enjoying food and laughing and all of those things. It wasn't his belt. Wasn't all however much money they got in the bank. I'm not, you know, dissing those things. I'm just, the point I'm making is this. For you, aren't the most joyful, fulfilling moments in life those times when you are surrounded by loved ones, sharing a meal together? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Don't you feel a sense of fulfillment and completion and joy in those moments? Isn't that wonderful? You know, especially for those of us who've got children that have left, when they all come back and they're all together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's what this was. This father having a gathering with it for his family, for friends. A great celebration. And Jesus, our older brother, has come for us so that we will join a great banquet. where we will finally, fully know completion, fulfillment, joy, the world we all want, everything. There's a banquet coming that the Father is preparing. And tonight, as we share in the bread and the wine, do you know, Jesus said the last time he had a meal with his disciples, he said, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's glory. Tonight, the Lord's present with us, but he's not drinking it with us. But as we drink this wine tonight, we remember, don't we? This is a foretaste of another feast to come, when Jesus will be drinking from the fruit of the vine with us. We are a blessed people this evening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we all fall into the trap of wanting stuff, whatever it might be, and you are a means to that end. We want to say that we're really sorry, because we've been reminded tonight what a wonderful Father you are. So worthy. And so we're so sorry. But we're also so glad that you are good, because your grace upon us again this evening stirs our hearts. And we say, Lord, please deliver us from our wretchedness that loves things and the created things more than the Creator. And turn our hearts more and more to love you above all things.